Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Raffaella, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
It is my absolute pleasure to welcome you to the very first episode of Stoma for Life. I'm your host, Raffaella, and I myself am an ostomate and bowel cancer survivor. Now, I'm sure the first question that comes to mind is when you see the title Stoma for Life is, why did I come up with that title? Well, it can be interpreted in two ways. Stoma for Life is because I have a permanent stoma, so for the rest of my life. And Stoma for Life is because it actually saved my life. Yeah, that's it. Not much more to it. I'm extremely blessed to be able to share my story and to actually do this radio show. This radio show is for you listening, as you might have had your own stoma journey or bowel cancer journey. You might know somebody that's gone through this, or you want to support somebody that is going through what seems to be, and what definitely was, one of the most trying times of my life. Now, there are a certain number of risk factors that will lead anybody to sort of listen up and think, oh, am I at risk? Well, there's a long list, and that list is one that I did have a look at. Now and again, you know, you sort of do think about things and about your health. But I actually only ticked the very first box on that list, and that is I'm over 50. For the rest, there was no family history. Nobody in my family has ever had bowel cancer. There was no history of polyps or non-cancerous polyps in my life. I did not suffer from IBS or Crohn's disease. I don't have type 2 diabetes. Do a lot of sport. I am also very conscious of my diet, the things I eat. And I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't take any tablets and no medications. None of those boxes were ticked except the first one. So what I'm actually trying to say is, do not think this cannot happen to you. But I also don't want to scare you. I want to have you just listen up and take my word for it that even if it does happen to you, we all have this inner strength in us that will help you get through what must be the most trying time of your life. This is where Stoma for Life comes in. I want to support you, guide you, and be there when you are looking for answers, when you're searching for answers, or when you want to share your story. Because I think the best way to learn is from somebody else's story. Your story is unique, yes. And the things that I experience might not be what anybody else is experiencing. But I think it actually helps you to listen to somebody who's been through that, to actually manage your own ordeal much better. You don't feel as if you're completely alone or left alone in that situation. And to hear somebody else that has gone through that is, to me, it was a great help. There are a lot of support groups out there. The ones that I often visit, and I'm not ashamed to say that I really, really needed in the beginning, because there are so many questions. And like I said, I don't have a family member that has gone through this. Well, thank goodness I don't have a family member that's gone through this. But when you are at that stage in your life, you do want to hear from somebody that's gone through that. So that's why I'm here, to help you through what must be one of the most daunting times of your life. So we've covered risk factors. I didn't tick any of the boxes except my age. So why did I actually listen to my intuition? How come? What happened? Well, I was going through postmenopause, and the symptoms that I had, I thought were due to being menopausal. I mean, I actually gained weight. I didn't lose weight, but my bowel movements started changing. And that was sort of the first sign that something was not completely right. But then I thought, oh, you know, maybe I've eaten something that wasn't quite right. But when it persists for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, then you must start thinking, or you must start listening to that inner voice. That's not correct. Anything longer than that is really, it's sort of one of the first signs that something's not up. Now, it doesn't have to be bowel cancer. Don't get me wrong. It can be a number of things. But in my case, it was. So I started investigating, and I went to the doctor, and I told them what my troubles were, and they said, "Oh, okay, let's do a test." And the test came up negative or positive, whichever way you look at it. But there was blood in my stool, and at first I thought, "Oh, that can't be," you know, why? And then I was diagnosed with hemorrhoids. Now, I haven't had hemorrhoids ever since I've had a child. My first child was born many years ago, and my second one as well. So, and then I changed my diet, and ever since I changed my diet, I haven't had problems that relate to any of that. So, okay, they diagnosed me with hemorrhoids, but that was still, to me, that wasn't the answer. I still felt, still had this voice in the back of my head saying, no, that's not it. That's not it. And I persisted, and I said, I would like you to do a colonoscopy. And they were a little hesitant at first, but then I said, no, I would want one now. I do want one now. Now, I'm sure if you think about a colonoscopy, that's not the first choice of any form of doctor visit you would want. But if you know something's up, that's the only way, or something's up with your bowel, that's the only way that they actually can find or detect it. So, but be assured, they do it in a very dignified way. It's really done in such a way that you yourself don't feel humiliated at all. So I had my scheduled colonoscopy. I did the whole thing, the bowel prep, etc. I was told not so long ago that the orange taste of the bowel prep is going to get changed soon into mango taste. So there's something to look forward to for my future colonoscopies. So I was prepped for the colonoscopy, and I did opt for a light sedative. There I looked at a screen where I could actually see what was going on in my intestines. It's actually quite funny. I'm not very squeamish when it comes to things like that. I can't see my own blood though, but I'm not really squeamish when it comes to any of that. And I was actually quite curious and wanted to see what was going on. So I don't just have curly hair, but apparently I've also got a curly colon, because they had to really move me up and down and sideways. And I had to do a whole lot of things for them to actually get the camera in a position where they could actually see properly. Yeah, there were one or two little polyps that were removed while the colonoscopy was done. And then there was something that I thought, wow, phew, my goodness, what is that? And I asked the person that did it, and he said, oh, that's a polyp. And I said, oh, well, then just remove it. And he says, no, we can't remove that. That's too big. You can't have that removed like that, but we will take a biopsy. So all said and done. And yeah, I went home and went about my life. Not really, that really didn't leave my mind, but I wasn't alarmed, because I thought, okay, I knew there was something, you know, and they did say I have hemorrhoids. Maybe that was part of the hemorrhoid. So I think less than a week later, I got a letter saying I've got a CT and an MRI, and I've got to go for those. those consultations. So I did. I went for a CT scan, and then I had to go back a second time for a CT scan with contrasting liquids. They did an MRI as well. And then I had an appointment at my consultant. Now, I remember I took my husband along, and we waited for about an hour and a half because he was running late. And we had the time of our life sitting there in the consultation room, in the waiting area. We were talking, and I don't think I was actually afraid, or because I thought, well, you've got polyps, you know, so I wasn't really worried. And like I said, we had a great time sitting there chatting, waiting for my consultant to arrive. So this was all during COVID times, mind you. So we were fully masked up. So when I was called up, I met my consultant and my future surgeon, and also my Macmillan cancer nurse. Now, I could only see his eyes, but when I looked in those eyes, I instantly felt as if I can trust this person. You know, the eyes are the window to your soul, and I had an instant connection to this person. We sort of introduced ourselves, and then he said, "Bafela, do you know why you're here?" And I said, "Yes, I've got a polyp that you need to remove." His face turned serious, what I could see from his eyes, and he says, no, you don't. I'm sorry to tell you, but you've got stage 3 bowel cancer. Now, that first had to sink in, and it felt like time stood still. And, you know, when everything goes quiet before everything becomes noisy, feels like an eternity. But then soon after he said those words, he also said, "It hasn't spread to any of your organs." And that to me was, wow, okay. So what do we do now? Now, there's one thing you must know about me is I flew as a flight attendant for almost 30 years before I went into my actual profession as a graphic designer. So I had been trained to handle emergency situations for almost 30 years. And what do you do if you're a flight attendant and you're told this is an emergency situation? You basically get trained in such a way that you yourself know, okay, this is the fact. These are my options, and this is what I will do to get out of here alive. And intuitively, again, I applied those things to my cancer diagnosis. So I said to him, okay, so what are my options? What will you do? How can we get rid of it? So he said to me, well, you know, the way your cancer is positioned, it's actually fairly unlikely we will not be able to remove the cancer without you having a stoma. Now, a stoma? I'd never heard of the word stoma. Never, ever did I hear of the word stoma in my life before. When he explained it, I knew exactly what it was, but I'd never heard the actual word stoma used before. So, yeah, he says to me, look, I could be sitting here with a stoma and you wouldn't know I had one. I just picture this. This first has to sink in. And then I said to him, okay, and what is the other option? He says, the other option is that your life changes 180 degrees and you will most probably have to live next to a toilet for the rest of your life. You will not be able to live the way you're living now. I must be very honest. It actually didn't take that long for me to decide on how I want to proceed. But then again, what is long? For some people, it might take weeks, months. And with me, I actually had my life-saving surgery 6 days afterwards. 6 days after I was told that I had bowel cancer, I was already prepped for surgery. And those 6 days were filled with actually so much action and reaction that I couldn't really process all of this. I didn't really have time to process all of it. And if I think back now, I actually only had cancer for 6 days. Does that make sense to you? Because beforehand, I didn't know. And my surgery date was so quick that I just functioned. Actually, once I was on my way going home after I'd received my diagnosis, one of the first things that I said to my husband is, first of all, how am I going to tell my kids and how am I going to tell my parents? Both my parents are over 80 and they live very far away in South Africa. And now, as I said, it was COVID times. I hadn't seen them for a long time, all through COVID. Now, the last thing I wanted to tell them via the phone was that I had stage 3 bowel cancer. So I phoned them up and I said, because my mom knew that I went to the consultant that day. And so I phoned them up and said, I've got good news and I've got extremely good news. And my mom said, oh, I'm so pleased. I'm so pleased. I was so, so worried about you. And she says, okay, what is the good news? I said, they found something and it is cancerous. And then it was silent on the other side. And she says, what's the very good news? I said, they can take it away. They can remove all of it. So that's what they did. We're going to break for a very short time for our station sponsors. We'll be back shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. Now, before the commercial break, I spoke about what actually led up to being diagnosed with stage 3 bowel cancer and the options I was given. Now, in case you're wondering what a stoma is, it's an opening in the abdomen that can be connected to either your digestive or to your urinary system to allow waste like urine or feces, whichever one you have, to be diverted out of your body. Now, it looks like a small pinkish circular piece of flesh that is sewn to your body. It's basically your intestine or your colon that actually comes out of your body. And it lies fairly flat on the body, or it can protrude out a little bit. A pouch is worn over the top of the stoma, which can either be closed. You can either have a closed pouch or a opening at the bottom. Now, stoma has no nerve endings and there is no pain being felt. So I can't actually feel anything, but I'm very protective over that part of my body. And according to research, now I didn't know this, about 190,000 people in the UK live with a stoma. Now, the most common condition resulting in stoma surgery is obviously colorectal cancer, bowel cancer, bladder cancer, IBS, Crohn's disease, or accidental injury. So there is a lot of reasons why a person ends up with a stoma. Now, stomas don't have to be permanent. In my case, it is permanent, but stomas can also be reversed. So during the course of the radio show, I will have guests on that have had reversals and what their life looks like now after a reversal surgery. So we actually had covered already when I had been diagnosed and what I was about to say to my parents and what I did say to my parents. And leading up to the days of the surgery. Now, ostomates are supported by a stoma care nurse all through their ostomy. Now, I met my stoma nurse the first time one day prior to surgery, and she was there, first of all, just so that we would get to know each other, and also for her to actually indicate where I would have my stoma. Now, there's no real choice that you have. I mean, you can't say, oh, I'd rather like it more to this side or to that side. As I have a colostomy, it's on the left side of my body. But they sort of take into account perhaps what type of clothes do you wear? Would it be more advisable to have it a little lower or a little higher? It's just those things that I can take into consideration. So I don't really think it matters where the opening is, because no matter where it is, it's something new and something that you've never had before. And regardless of where it was, and if they're taking into consideration if it's going to help you with the way you dress, believe you me, you're going to change your way of dressing. I did. So it's something that you just want to do, or that you intuitively do because you feel better. But don't worry, I will do a whole show about body consciousness as an ostomate in the future. So stay tuned for that. So we were at the point of where I was being prepped for surgery. Now you have to take into consideration, this was 6 days. I had 6 days to actually get my head around what was happening to me. And looking back, I actually think it was a blessing that it was only 6 days, because obviously you search for answers. Why have I gotten this diagnosis? Yes, I've asked myself a lot of those questions. And as we said, I wasn't even on the risk factor list. The only thing that actually spoke for it was, or is, my age, and the rest, all those boxes I couldn't tick. So I've done my own searching. Why did I actually end up with this? And, you know, thoughts become things, and toxic thoughts become things. And your internal language is so important in anything you do, not just on a health point of view, but on all things in your life. Your internal voice is the only one that's actually listening, and your thoughts are so powerful. So as I mentioned, we went through the pandemic during my diagnosis. So the pandemic had been there for about 2 years, and like with everybody that I've met and everybody I'm sure that has gone through the pandemic, it wasn't easy. And I'm not taking that as an excuse, not at all, but I did not practice any self-care whatsoever. I went through a really, really bumpy patch with myself. I fought myself all the time. I had lots of fears, and my internal language was very, very toxic. And I believe that that was what contributed to me being diagnosed. So I changed a lot of that. I must say, I really, really changed a lot in that aspect. Self-care is so important, and I will have experts on self-care on Stoma for Life, because I feel that how can you expect anybody else to take care of yourself if you yourself don't take care of yourself? You are your own best friend, and you are responsible for your thoughts. And like I said, thoughts become things. And during the pandemic, I spoke to my parents on a daily basis. As I mentioned, they live very far away. And thanks to FaceTime, WhatsApp, Skype, Zoom, whatever they're called, you are able to connect with your loved ones, even if they're living on the other side of the planet. So it was something that I did every single day. But I had a lot of fears and a lot of worries. And I kept on saying to my mom, I cannot listen to this anymore. It is making me ill. It's making me ill. So I said that to myself for, I don't know how many months and years, it's making me ill. And what happened? It happened. Yes, it actually happened. Now, my surgeon, my consultant will say, oh, you've just had bad luck, because I did ask him, why did I end up with something like this? And he says, well, in your case, you just had bad luck. Now, I don't believe in good luck or in bad luck. It's something that happened, and it's a wake-up call in my case. It was a huge wake-up call, and my life has changed so much, so much for the better ever since then. I said to a friend of mine not so long ago, it's incredible how something like that, something that's so, that everybody actually fears, this big C, can actually end up being a blessing in disguise. In my case, it was, because I've never felt more alive than since that day. It's even though I have accompanied my husband during his cancer journey, there already I felt very grateful, and precious times were, I mean, they were just, it's your whole outlook on life changes when something like that sort of happens to your partner. But it's a different story when it happens to yourself. The focus still gets shifted. Your awareness is there, but your focus is so much more fine-tuned. I can only explain it in the sense of, if you take a camera lens, which is out of focus, and then all of a sudden you find that focal point, that focus, and everything becomes crystal clear. And ever since I've had my diagnosis, that's how I view my life, crystal clear. So I'm carrying on now about my surgery. The surgery went extremely well. I will do a whole show about what actually happens during surgery and what to take into consideration. I will invite guests to talk to me about that. So I'm not going to go into full detail now, but after my surgery, one of the first people I saw was my surgeon, my consultant, the man with the very kind eyes. And he came to my bed and he said, "Rafaela, we got all the cancer. We were able to cut it all out. And you will be fine." And it was like Christmas, and it was like Christmas 10 times over. I don't know, those kind eyes, we just connected, and I just felt so overwhelmed and so grateful to him. A big shout out this stage to St. Mark's Hospital. That's Middlesex Central Hospital here in London. They're just absolutely wonderful. The whole team is just great. Now, once you wake up from surgery, you are usually in, I think it's called ICU, where they just monitor you after surgery. And one of the first person after my surgeon was the stomach care nurses that come around to actually show you how to handle, manage your stomach. So, you know, at that stage, after having gone through what I'd just been going through, she was actually the last person I wanted to see, to be very honest. But she was one of those people, she would just, I mean, the sun would just start shining when she entered a room, and you just knew you had to listen to her, and whatever she shows you has got meaning and it's going to make your life so much easier. But I didn't want to hear any of that. I was just so overwhelmed with the surgery, with the news, and I was still in a whole lot of pain. So when she came to my bedside and said, "Hey, do you want to see what your stoma looks like? Do you want us to show you how to change a bag?" I said, "Well, I'm not really interested. You can change it. I don't want to change it." So I must be honest, I didn't actually want to look at my stomach or see any of that yet. I was still trying to get my head around it. So she did all that. That was fine. And once I got on into the main ward, I was in the room with three other ladies, and we all had different types of surgeries, different types of, all ending up with a stoma, but different types of surgeries. So there were three other ladies with me in the ward. And it's actually quite nice. You sort of connect with these people because they see you at the worst of your, in the worst time of your life. And the lady right in front ahead of me, that was opposite me, she'd had stoma surgery, I think a couple of weeks prior to that. She was in for something completely different, but she was already a pro at changing the bag. And then there was an elderly lady just across from her again. And she'd also just, that was also very new, but she was so positive. She was also one of those really, like, really happy people. And then the lady next to me, she had her surgery a day after mine, and she'd also just received a stoma. So we were the newest ones, the new kids on the block. So you will only be discharged from hospital once you know how to actually handle your stoma and change your bag. And believe you me, in the beginning, it's a whole big story. I mean, you want to prepare everything. You've got all your utensils, and it's just so much to take into consideration, all the steps, and it's just so overwhelming. But you mustn't forget, everything is still very raw. Everything is still, you're still in so much pain. You're only function with pain medicine, and the whole area, the whole stomach area is still very raw. So it becomes very challenging in the beginning. But unlike anything that you do for a long time, it becomes second nature later on. And so if you listening now have just had stoma surgery, be assured everything will get better. It'll become so easy. It's still overwhelming for me sometimes, because I mean, it's something I've got to live with for the rest of my life, but it's become so part of me. I mean, it's just the way it is. And I don't really think about it a lot until I have to go to the toilet or until I have to change my pouch. But other than that, I can assure you, changing a bag will become second nature. It'll become so easy. For those of you who've had children already, when you've had your firstborn, everything's overwhelming, and changing a nappy is overwhelming, and you just want to do everything correctly. Well, once the baby is like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks old, changing a nappy is no issue at all. And this is the same with changing your stoma bag. Or when you drive a car, how many times have you caught yourself thinking, did I stop at that red traffic light? Or, you know, because it's second nature, everything is just, it becomes so normal. So if you have just had stoma surgery, I guarantee you, you'll be able to handle it like a pro in no time. So that was my hospital stay. I mean, my stay was extended because I did have a bladder infection, which they first had to treat before they could discharge me. So I was actually quite glad that I had these extra days in hospital, because I was quite weak when I got out of hospital. I felt really, really shaky and really, really weak. But in that sense, in that case, or in that part, stage of your life, it's really important to have a good support system. Now, if you don't have family and friends like I had, there are a lot of support groups out there that you can reach out to. And I'm sure, I know that my stoma nurse would have referred me to any extra help if I'd needed it. So do not feel alone. There are great support groups out there that will guide you and help you through this very trying time. So yes, talking about friends and family, I was really, really lucky to have had so many people rooting for me, praying for me, being there for me during that time. So during the pandemic, obviously there were no visits to the hospital. We had no visitors, but thanks to FaceTime and Zoom and Skype and all those gadgets that make life so much easier, I was able to connect to all of them and make use of that, make use of the people that are reaching out. And just, even if they don't know what to say, it's actually not important what they say. It's important for what you've got to say, and talk about it. Talking is a form of healing. And the more you talk about it, the more you actually come to terms with what has happened to you. So I can only advise that to me was like a lifeline. Speaking to my loved ones, to my family and friends every day, it was my lifeline to the outside world. And I remember I took my first walk to the window about 4 or 5 days after surgery, and I could see Wembley Stadium. And I thought, yes, the world's still out there. You know, it's still there, and the world carries on turning, regardless of what happens to you. But it's your choice to stay focused and, yes, go with it. So we're going to have another commercial break, and join me for the last part of Stoma for Life. We're going to hear from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to Stoma for Life, and thank you to our station sponsors. Thank you to UK Health Radio for giving me the opportunity to share my bowel and cancer story on Stoma for Life. If you haven't followed me on social media yet, please do so. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the handle Stoma for Life. That's S-T-O-M-A, digit 4. L-I-F-E, or do go to my website at stomaforlife.com, where you can also find my contact details. Perhaps you feel like writing me an email and giving me feedback on the show, or perhaps you want to yourself share your personal journey as an ostomate or as a bowel cancer patient or survivor. I would really love to hear from you. So we've spoken about the risk factors of bowel cancer, but what are the actual symptoms of bowel cancer? Now, blood in your poo is a definite indicator that something is wrong and should be taken very serious and checked out. Obvious changes in your bowel habit. I had persistent bowel habit changes that lasted for a long time. Anything over 6 weeks is something that you should have looked at. Weight loss, you cannot explain. Now, I didn't have that. I was going through menopause and I was putting on the pounds. I wasn't losing anything. So weight loss is also an indicator. Then extreme tiredness for no reason. Now, I didn't pursue that because I knew I was going through menopause and I was going through a stressful time during the pandemic and I wasn't sleeping at all. Sometimes I didn't sleep for days because my mind was just racing and I was filling it with lots of toxic thoughts. So I also didn't attribute that to a sign or a symptom of bowel cancer. And last but not least, a swelling in your abdomen could also be a reason for you to visit your GP. Now, if any of those apply to you, do not hesitate to go and see your GP and they will take it from there. Because once you have a diagnosis, you can have a plan of action. It doesn't always have to be bowel cancer, don't get me wrong. But once you have that peace of mind, it is so much better and so much healthier for you. Remember, I spoke about my intuition, and that is something I truly live by. So what have I learned through all these things that I've experienced? And one of the biggest thing that I'd like to share with you that I have learned is I have never, ever called it my cancer. I did not invite this into my life. I did not want to have this. So why must I own it by saying it's my cancer? I always refer to it as my diagnosis. And as I said previously, in my mind, I only had cancer for 6 days. So why must I carry on calling it my cancer? I invite you to rephrase that. Don't put ownership on something that you do not actually want to have in your life. So try and change the wording around that. Now, to close today's show, I would like to share with you three affirmations that are very dear to me. Affirmations can be performed daily or just as often as you like. They're short, positive phrases or sentences that will help you improve your daily life. If you repeat them often enough and start believing them, then you can make real positive changes in your life. Like repetitive exercise for your body, affirmation is exercise for your mind. So you can repeat them either silently, or you can actually sit in front of a mirror and repeat them to yourself. Now find the affirmation that resonates with you. These are the ones that I share with myself every single day. So number one, I am strong. Yes, I am strong. I have proven this to myself. I never knew how strong I was until I was challenged. And most of us will not know until we are asked by whatever life throws at us to actually take a look, take action, and show ourselves how strong we are. So yes, I am strong. Number two, I can overcome any challenge life brings me. I can overcome any challenge life brings me. Once again, I've proven that to myself. And number three, I am grateful for the life I have. Yes, I am so, so grateful for the life I have. I'm so grateful that you tuned in to my very first episode of Stoma for Life. Thank you so much for listening. I've enjoyed this time with you tremendously, and I look forward to speaking to you real soon. Bye for now.